If what's going to happen wasn't so comical, I'd think it tragic.
Hey!
The League Podcast, episode 308. Matt Durson and a special guest this week, returning to the show, my good friend Pope Carlos. Welcome back, Pope.
Hello, everyone.
Well, it's just you and I. It's July, a lot of people on vacation, but thanks for coming on.
Yeah, it's no problem. My pleasure.
It's great. We one of the reasons we, you know, you're here. We saw Spider-Man on Friday.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. And it was good.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, despite the small children in the background.
Yeah, I think that just warrants a second viewing for us.
Huh? Yeah.
I
was saying to Rachel, I don't know, and I know like this might sound bad, but you know, like, a lot of times I like to go to like the seats with the recline, you know, like the recliner seats and the nice theater, and you pay a little extra for that.
Right.
You don't see a lot of kids in those.
No, you don't. You know, no, because no, parents aren't going to pay extra for
right
that amenity.
Yeah.
Knowing that their kid isn't going to pay attention for the whole movie anyway.
Yeah. The kid's just going to be crawling around. And
right.
So that might be what we do for the second viewing, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, originally that was our plan.
I know. We just couldn't get.
Yeah, we just ran out of seats.
There were only like four seats in that theater, and they were all
right.
Over.
Right.
All over the place. So.
Well, it was opening weekend, so.
Yeah.
That's expected.
And it it did very well, according to Variety. 117 million as of this morning.
Yeah.
Way more than they thought.
Right. And it's handily beating Wonder Woman, of course.
Oh, really? I didn't even get that far.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's on pace right now.
117 million.
At least for the weekend.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why they were so like, they were kind of like, well, we're going to predict like 90 million. Right. That seems kind of like low, but. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. What were you thinking?
One of the things that they say here is that because it is kind of like a, I mean, it's not, it's kind of PG, it's PG-13, I guess, right? But it's still kind of like a family-friendly kind of a movie, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, obviously the four-year-olds behind us were there.
Yeah. Now, but, this PG-13 mean exactly? You can go into the theater if you're 13 years old without your parents.
I think it's kind of more of a warning to the parents.
Like content wise?
Yeah, like kind of like, just so you know, it's got some this or that or a couple bad words. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. It's not so much that the theaters won't let you in. And they're not carding you, obviously, because you don't have, what are you going to do at 13? You don't have like a license or anything.
Right.
So, I think it's under 13 must be accompanied by a parent or guardian kind of a thing.
Okay.
Which those kids were, so if you're...
Yeah, they were accompanied, but they weren't really being parented.
They were accompanied.
They were definitely just accompanied.
That was about the least they could do.
I think Rachel was doing more parenting to those kids.
I know. Than
actual parents.
You're saying, in retrospect, I wish I had just really let them have it, kind of, you know, like, just told them, please. And so, like, she shushed them
Yeah. But, and I think the parents got, I mean, the parents got the message, too. They were trying, I think, towards the end, they were trying to tell them to stay quiet, but they should have established that right at the beginning.
I feel like they should have said that before you even buy the ticket.
Right.
You know? I mean, clearly the kids wanted to see it. They were clearly big. They were really excited.
I agree. But yeah, there is something to be said about, you know, just theater etiquette and being aware of what, you know, you're getting yourself into, what you're getting your children into.
Right. The people and, around you.
Right. Right. And plus, it was opening night. It was an 8 p.m. showing.
One, I know.
Taking your four-year-old kids.
Didn't get over till 10:30.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know what where they live. Yeah. Unless they live at Trilogy across the street, they probably, you know. Yeah. Like,
yeah. But.
Like, that was probably a pretty late night for those kids.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Anyways, all that aside. I don't
all know. That aside, I know. I think we harped on that.
I know. Like, we don't want to waste the whole episode complaining about kids in the movie theater, but it was a really fun movie. Fun superhero movie. They put a lot of just a lot of stuff going on in there, but not like stuff so much that you're like, oh my god, I can't even deal with all this stuff. Like, this was like really good. There wasn't too much Iron Man. Like, they didn't even really like Tony Stark would just kind of show up to,
right?
Kind of, you know, be his dad. Which they even say, like, in the movie, he's kind of the dad. But, all right, well, let's just say, first of all, we're going to spoil some things probably here. So if you haven't
seen it. Yeah, spoilers ahead.
Yeah, don't listen, but.
Yeah, the movie pretty much your last chance.
Yeah, just go see it and come back and listen later.
That's right, yeah.
But it kind of, I like the way it starts off, like, right during, sort of during Civil War.
Right.
Like, the stuff that we didn't see in Civil War, we see here, like where he gets the suit and he goes to Germany.
Right.
And he's like filming on his phone. He's doing like a little video diary and he's like, look, there's Captain America.
Right.
Like, it's so funny. Like, it's kind of great. It's intertwined in with Civil War.
Right. The other thing, what's great is that they embrace like teen culture.
Yeah, that's true.
So they actually... His portrayal as a teen character is this is probably the most fleshed out it's been after what, 5 Spider-Man movies that we've seen?
Yeah, 5 previous.
Yeah, because back then all that really indicated that he was a teen was his angst,
right? And he went to school,
right? With supposedly high school kids who look 30-year-olds.
Yeah, how old was Tobey Maguire when he actually did that?
I think he was 26, 27.
All right. At that time. It is. He was 19 when Tom Holland.
Yeah. He was definitely still a teen when they started.
He was 19 when he got the role, I think. So, but he looks pretty young. I mean, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
He still looks young.
Yeah. But, you know, like, that makes a difference. Those years make a difference.
Absolutely, that's true. But but he's doing like he's all over his phone, like just like a typical teenager.
Right.
He's even filming like during the battle. He's like, oh, the little guy's big now. Like I got like he puts his phone. I don't know where he keeps his phone. First of all, when he's swinging around, he kind of just reaches behind him and pulls it out.
Right, but it also what's great about it is it kind of gives us. It reminds me of what Marvel's graphic novel did, because it puts you like on the ground, right?
Oh, that was a great. I like that story.
Yeah,
was that Alex Ross?
Yeah, it was Alex Ross.
That was good.
I mean, it wasn't necessarily Peter Parker that was doing the, it wasn't from his perspective. It was from the perspective of another photographer, right?
Right.
Yeah, but that's what you get. It's basically like that's if you put it on film, this is kind of like the translation of that, the adaptation of it.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm like he's filming as he's fighting the, and of course in the old comics he used to do that with he used to set up a camera and then go fight criminals and then sell the photos to J. Jonah Jameson.
Right, but this kind of sets up what. It might be what it could be like for him when he does eventually get his job at the Daily Bugle.
Well, I hope so, because you can't not – you got to have J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
But that was maybe the one thing missing. I know it doesn't really fit in this movie because, like,
no.
He's 15. He actually says he's 15.
Yeah. And they're saying there are at least two or three more sequels planned.
And, yeah, I would imagine.
And they want to focus on him being in high school.
No, that's good. I mean, you want to start there because that's part of Spider-Man's history.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's what made Spider-Man popular to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. He's the regular guy. I mean, he lives with his aunt, you know, like the whole
right
sneaking around.
And I like how they modernized it too, you know, because the old, what was it, the last couple movie iterations of Spider-Man, they had that little house in Queens,
right?
And now they live in an apartment complex. I feel like that's more relatable these days.
Yeah, are there houses in Queens? I don't know. I guess there must be.
Yeah, honestly, like I don't know. When I think New York and the immediate, you know, the boroughs.
Yeah, I don't. You think of apartments, rows and rows of apartments.
Yeah, I feel like if you have a house in New York, you're a freaking millionaire.
Yeah, you must. Aunt May must be doing pretty well.
Yeah. Well, man, unless you know Tony Stark buys them.
Maybe he bought them out.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah. So this whole the whole movie, really, or most of the movie, like the big thing is Spider-Man wants to be like important, and he wants to get into the Avengers. Like he wants to be an Avenger. He kind of thinks he already is, I think, in a way. Like he's just waiting for.
He's an auxiliary Avenger.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
And like he's in contact with Happy Hogan, John Favreau, who is really funny.
Yeah, I'm glad. He's got a meteor part.
He did.
In this, I think this is probably like his biggest part yet.
In a Marvel movie. In Iron Man 2, oh, I guess quite a bit, but I don't think he was in.
Yeah.
He wasn't in it this much. But he's so funny. He's so, like, angry, and, like, he has, you know, like, he has no interest in talking to Peter Parker, really.
Right.
He just kind of, he works for Tony Stark. That's his job. He doesn't want to lose his job or anything. Like, he's so funny. But anyway, yeah, so Peter Parker checks in with him all the time. He's like, oh, so I helped an old lady. I gave an old lady directions. The lady gave me a churro. You know, like, it's like, there's all these funny things, but like, he's like, I'm just waiting for my next call. Like, and there's even things like he turns down things at school because he doesn't want to not be available in case he gets a call on a mission, to go on a mission.
Right.
And the Avengers aren't even really, I don't know what the Avengers are even, like, there's Captain America and Tony Stark aren't really, like, you know, buddies anymore. I don't even know if there are Avengers still. So he's kind of funny. He's like, yeah, I'm just waiting for the Avengers to call me. It's like, well, who are the Avengers?
Well, yeah, you're right. It wasn't really clear what the current state of the Avengers were, right?
Yeah.
So
Rhodey seems like he's out of commission for a little while. Yeah. Iron Man, I mean, Tony Stark is still on.
So he's just Iron Man, Vision.
I don't think Black Panther.
Black Panther isn't really an Avenger.
No.
Right?
Yeah, so is it just Vision and
Iron Man?
And Iron Man?
Maybe Black Widow, but I don't know.
She kind of turned.
Yeah, they turned on. Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
But Widow wasn't caught. She wasn't in that.
She wasn't in the. Yeah, but he was like. Tony Stark kind of gave her. He's like, so once a spy, always a spy. Like, he was kind of not.
Pleased, yeah. But I think Widow is on the run right now.
Yeah, she must be on the run. But everyone else is in that prison. I don't know. Who knows? But anyway, so Spider-Man wants to get the call. And Tony Stark basically is like, you're too young and, you know, stupid. Like,
who's too young and stupid?
Yeah, well, I mean, he never says he's stupid. Like,
no.
But, you know, you're young and inexperienced. And I don't want you getting hurt. And you should stay on the – just be the guy who gives old ladies directions and takes churros.
Right.
You know. But then they – you know, like, meanwhile, this whole other –
thing is going on with the Vulture, which is pretty cool. So, like, I'm going to tell you, when I was a kid and I was reading the comics, the Vulture was maybe the lamest villain of them all. I don't know.
Well, his costume, I mean, his just character design isn't...
I know.
It didn't really age well.
Yeah. He just had wings. Maybe in the 60s that was great.
Yeah.
But, like, when I was a kid in the 80s, I was like, oh, the Vulture, God.
I mean, I you know, you got to give props to Kevin Feige and Marvel Studios for updating all these character designs.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and making them more believable. I mean, yeah. I think that's one of the things that obviously the DC EU is struggling with. Right?
Yeah, like, I think
well, one, they just have a lot of problems to begin with. But you know, like in Wonder Woman, at least there's like reasoning behind her costume. There's some reasoning behind Superman's costume.
I guess, you know, well, he's an alien. Really
get into it for Batman. I don't know.
People would be all upset if you change Batman too much.
Yeah.
But they had the big Lego Batman outfit when he was fighting Superman.
Right, yeah. I mean...
No, but you're right. Marvel does a great job. They've actually always done, with making their characters look more up-to-date and just keeping things in the current, you know, like, it's 2017, you know? Like, let's... So Michael Keaton, who is playing the Vulture, or the man who would become the Vulture, his company is in charge of cleaning up New York after the invasion at the end of the first Avengers movie. And then these people come along, Damage Control, which is an old school Marvel thing. Did you ever remember? Do you remember that?
No, I remember Damage Control. I think I got like a grab. I used to get like grab bags of just random comics, and then I remember Damage Control being one of the titles in there, and thinking, "What the hell is this?" I mean,
it's funny now. You should dig it out. Maybe it's worth something.
The premise makes sense.
Right.
You know, and just speaking to, I think it was just this movie was just so like tight and written very well, linking the Vulture's background to Damage Control, and pretty much, you know, the collateral damage that our heroes basically inflict upon the world.
I know, it's true. Like, they said, oh, we have an Ultron arm here. So, like, they had, like, they went sort of through all the movies. They were like, oh, we got this thing from, they made a reference to Thor the Dark World when they were in London. He said, oh, we got this from London. So it's pretty cool. Like, yeah, this stuff is laying around. So Damage Control took the job away from the Vulture and his
Adrian guy. Yeah.
He's like, hey, we got families to feed here. This is, you know, we can contract to do this job. And they're like, well, not anymore. And they just kind of like, and they said, if you have a problem, you can take it up with Tony Stark. And they're just, so it's kind of funny. It doesn't really paint Tony Stark in the best light either.
No.
Because he does all this damage and then he gets paid to clean it up. Like, basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, they give the Vulture a good reason to be angry, really. Like, and that he sort of turns to crime, steals all his weapons, or like they had some, and then they go and steal it. And then, like, they sell them to, you know, on the black market.
Right.
And he gets, anyways, and he's like, you know, so he gets his wing things, and he becomes a Vulture. They never really call him, I guess they do call him the Vulture. They call him, like, the Vulture guy or the wing guy. They don't say, like, he doesn't have that moment where he's like, I'm the Vulture.
You know? I don't think he doesn't refer to himself as that. But
right.
I honestly don't remember an instance where they did say the Vulture.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe they didn't. They just kept saying flying guy or the guy with the wing, whatever.
Yeah. Huh.
So anyways, that's so Spider-Man's like, I gotta take that guy down, you know.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be his thing to impress Tony Stark and become an Avenger.
Right. You know what?
But
with you know, the Vulture too, I think what makes this movie so good is just the way he's fleshed out as a full character, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we actually get to see him as a family man.
I know. Now that
I don't think you get to see that anywhere else.
Yeah, one of the criticisms of a lot of the Marvel movies is that all the villains are kind of the same.
They're, yeah.
They don't really. I guess Loki, I feel like Loki got kind of fleshed out in the Thor movies a little bit.
Yeah. Loki's good. Zemo actually.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't bad, but.
No.
It just felt like Zemo was coming out from nowhere, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was good that they linked him to Sokovia from Civil War.
Yeah. From Age of Ultron. From
Age of Ultron, right. Yeah, from Age of Ultron, right.
No, that was good. That was a great. Yeah. That was not something I didn't expect.
Yeah,
there is.
And that's what makes Civil War such a great movie, too, because the villain was such like an understated character, but it was actually a very good, a well-written character.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad. That's like, yeah, his family died while they were fighting. I mean, there is collateral damage, like you said.
And, yeah.
You know, good. Good for them. Give these characters layers.
I wanted to bring up a point about... because I think I read this somewhere. Happy Hogan, John Favreau's character, being Peter Parker's contact, right? And Peter being so eager to become an Avenger, he leaves all these messages, texts for Happy Hogan, right? And there's kind of like this cinematic inside joke there. Because remember Jon Favreau's character in Swingers?
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right. Where he left all the voicemails for that girl. Yeah.
Right.
That was one of the most painful scenes ever. It's so funny. He like breaks up with her almost. Over
I know. He has a whole relationship.
Met her like 2 hours ago.
Right. He has a whole relationship with her in a span of.
Yeah.
Hours, but it all happened in his head.
Yeah. Because at the end, he's like, maybe we shouldn't talk anymore. It's like, all he's doing is talking to our machine.
I know.
It's one of the most painful scenes ever. But it's kind of like that, where Peter Parker just. Because they even show this whole thing of texts.
Right.
That there's no response.
No response. No response.
Just Peter texting Happy.
Very one-sided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is a funny little analogy, inside joke there.
And then obviously, when we get into like the Vulture and Michael Keaton being cast as the Vulture.
Right, he just played Birdman.
Yeah, he played Birdman. And then Birdman itself was an inside joke to him playing Batman.
Yeah.
So.
It is really, there are so many layers here.
They just pile it on.
But since we're going there, so Michael Keaton, the Vulture, here's the big spoiler.
Big spoiler. So
really do not listen if you don't want to be spoiled. We're going to say, this was huge in the theater as we were sitting there.
Yeah.
It is revealed. Okay, Peter Parker has a crush on Liz Allen.
Yep.
Who is a character from the comics as well.
Right.
They're going to go to the homecoming dance.
That's right.
Which is why I never even knew why it was called homecoming. Well, it is because it's called homecoming because Spider-Man is coming home to Marvel.
Right.
But it's also homecoming because there's a homecoming dance.
Right. Yeah.
So he's bringing her to the dance. He shows up at the door. He rings the doorbell and the Vulture opens the door. Michael Keaton, not with the wings, but Michael Keaton opens the door as Adrian Toomes or whatever his name is. And it's everyone in the theater gasps. And then everyone laughed because everyone gasped. It was pretty hilarious. I mean, like, I actually really liked that. I know it was kind of, if you thought about it, it was kind of obvious because Michael Keaton kept talking about his family and it wouldn't make any sense to not show his family.
Show his family, right.
Yeah. And who else would it be? Like, unless You know, I mean, there's nobody else.
No, that's a good point. But, right. You know, but it's one of those things where you don't, you didn't really expect it from
I was just kind of lost in the movie and I wasn't really.
Right, exactly. You don't think about it. That was, so, you know, that's props to the filmmakers, the director, Watts, you know, because he really did the whole, that being a reveal, he did a great job of not telegraphing that.
I think so, yeah. In retrospect, I should have seen it coming.
Yeah.
But I actually didn't. I admit now I did not see that coming.
Rachel said she saw it coming.
I know.
I didn't see it coming.
I didn't either. I was kind of just lost in the movie and just, I wasn't being, like, analytical or whatever. I was just like, oh, this is fun.
Oh, also, I think part of the reason, too, why people laughed after they gasped was because of that four-year-old kid behind us who just blurted out, "That's the criminal!"
Yeah. It was pretty funny. And I know, you shouldn't, you're only encouraging that behavior by that.
I know, but it was funny.
That's the bad guy! So here's the weird thing, though. Michael Keaton is driving them to the homecoming dance, and he recognizes Peter's voice because he's encountered Spider-Man already.
Right, right. And you know what?
That's kind of. I mean, does that? How does that not happen to everybody? How does everyone not just recognize?
Yeah, you're right.
But I mean, maybe Michael Keaton is just.
But also, Peter, you know, Spider-Man's banter is very distinctive. You know, that's what makes him. That's what one of his trait, you know, his hallmarks of his character.
Yeah, it's true.
So, you know, that voice. Well, the voice, I mean, you know, he puts it all together. The voice, Peter disappearing at.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's not just the voice.
Times.
He's like, oh, so you weren't at.
Yeah.
You weren't in the thing in DC.
Yeah.
When Spider-Man was there.
Yeah. Liz Allen just kept piling it on, too.
Yeah, and he. Like, you were and Michael Keaton, it's not just the voice, you're right. He does say, like, you seem familiar, but he puts it all together because, like, they're never in the same place at the same time. That's right. Basically.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah, and the thing is, too, is, like, I think that was a smart move, you know? It's, because there is, like, suspension of disbelief only goes so far, right?
I know. Like, literally, they are never in the same place at the same time.
Right. Which, you know...
For, like, 30 years in the comics, no one ever put it together.
So. Right, right, right.
But,
Of course, you know, I mean, that was, like, every time they reveal, or they make it so a character's secret identity is revealed, you know, you do lose some of that dramatic tension that's always present in comic book stories, right?
Yeah.
So it really is, it's up to a very, you'd have to be a very talented filmmaker or storyteller to keep the momentum going in a story once you've lost that dramatic tension.
Right.
So what do you do next after that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Iron Man has always just been everyone always knew Tony Stark was Iron Man, but other than that, it's kind of like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I always like that part of a superhero is having to hide who he really is to protect the people like that he loves or whatever, you know.
Right.
Or she.
Yeah.
That's definitely something Marvel has fallen away from in the comics in recent years is, you know.
Right.
A lot of people know who everybody is and it's kind of like, I'm not as big a fan of that. But
you know what, too? It might just be like a reflection, too, of where our culture is going, right?
I guess, yeah.
Everyone wants to be known, wants to be out there.
Yeah, everybody gets their few minutes of fame. There's YouTube celebrities.
Yeah.
There's, you know, like, stuff like that. There's people who do stupid podcasts about, you know.
We're not doing this for celebrity.
No, we're not. that would be really weird because no one knows who we are. 307 episodes, whatever. And but anyways, no. Only Ned Leeds knows who he is because he just happens to be sitting in the room when Spider-Man climbs in the window at one point, yeah. sneaking in.
Right.
And he's just sitting there, which is actually a really funny moment. So I'm really glad that they did that.
So one thing that I didn't realize that they were doing is that apparently this version of Spider-Man doesn't have his spider sense.
Oh,
that's why these, you know, that happened and, you know, the ending happened. Another spoiler. Right. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I never really thought that. That's actually okay because,
yeah.
But, you know, that can be like too much. Like,
right. Yeah. So I've just been, you know, after watching the movie, I couldn't get enough, Spider-Man. So I just kept reading all these articles. And they said they're not, the reason that they didn't include it was they, you know, in the past, in the other movies, they just leaned on the spider sense a little too much.
Mm.
But also they said, filmmakers, the director, John Watts, said, but this doesn't mean that we won't be using it in the future, because it could just be that his, you know, some of his powers are still just developing, right?
Oh, that makes right. sense.
Or the spider sense, you know, maybe he does get, you know, his spidey sense tingling, but he just doesn't know what that is yet, right?
Yeah, maybe that's true. Yeah. He's only a few months into this, right?
Right, exactly.
So. He says in Civil War I think they say he's had it about 6 months.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it goes 2 months later, yeah. it said.
And there was so a scene,
8 months.
Yeah, actually, right? There was a scene in Civil War when Spider-Man is fighting Falcon and Winter Soldier, where it looked like his spider sense, like, kicked in.
Oh.
Right? I think Winter Soldier, like hurled something at him from behind, and then Spider-Man was able to, like, dodge it, like, at the last minute, last second.
Oh, that would be a cool
right.
thing that in a future movie they could right. sort of reveal, like, oh, that's what that was, or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, you don't want to lean on it.
Yeah. And because right now, like, we're just having fun watching him, like, fumble his way through.
I know. Well, that was a part right. of the movie that I really liked, yeah. is that he really didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
He doesn't really know how to fight. He doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, he's kind of just flying by the seat of his pants.
Right. Right now, it's all instinct. There's no...
Yeah. And he just basically webs. That's, like, his thing.
Right.
I can shoot webs.
Right.
And of course, he even has all the different kinds of webs. When he gets the super suit, or whatever you want to call it, like the real Tekono suit, once they get the training wheels protocol, which is something that Tony Stark put in there, apparently, they remove that, and then it's like open season. He has the voice, just like Tony Stark does, which is Jennifer Connelly, which we found out.
Right, right.
And did you read, I'm sure you read this, so she is married to Paul Bettany, who was the right. voice of the Vision, plays the Vision, but originally he was the yeah. voice of Jarvis.
Voice of Jarvis, that's right, yeah.
In the original Iron Man.
A little, yeah.
So, like, husband and wife there. That's pretty cool. So anyway, yeah, Jennifer Connelly is Karen, or originally he called her Suit Lady, which is funnier.
Suit Lady, yep.
But I love it. He has all these different kinds of webs. He has, like, taser webs and, like, web grenades, and it's all very cool.
Yeah. But remember, we got into this discussion on, let's hope he doesn't lean, like, he doesn't rely too much on the tech of the suit, right? Yeah.
Because you kind of got to.
Yeah.
That's not really what the character is.
Right.
About, you know?
Right. Like, hopefully the tech of the suit helps him develop his skill set, right?
Yeah.
And then he doesn't have to lean too much on.
Yeah, I hope that's what they,
yeah,
what happens. Because, I mean, it's nice. It's fun. It's good for fun little moments. sometimes, right. But you don't want it to be too much of a,
yeah,
you know, a crutch. But
especially when Suit Lady's telling him, "Oh, you should tell Liz your feelings now."
I know, this is a moment. Kissed her, like, it's really funny. But I don't. Yeah, you don't want it to be too much.
Right. Yeah.
Spider-Man, like, as a character, has to just rely on his wits and his, you know, like, his skills and stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's part of what makes a character great.
Yeah.
And relatable, like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was what the idea of him was from the beginning. And that is kind of what the idea at the end of the movie. Again, big spoiler, like, he realizes, I mean, I guess we'll jump to the end. We'll talk about it, but
yeah.
He realizes, like, Tony Stark says, "Oh, you can be an Avenger. Here's a super new," he gives him sort of the Iron Spider suit from Civil War, yep. First Civil War comic book.
Yeah.
And Peter Parker goes, "No, you know what? I'm okay. I'm just going to be the ground.
I'm going to be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man for a little longer." Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, Peter realizes how much he still has to learn.
Yeah, I think that's great.
And realizes that he doesn't have to rush into becoming a full, you know.
He was kind of like drop out of high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because he's like, "Oh, I'm just going to be an Avenger now."
Right, right.
Which is kind of something that a kid would do, you know. I mean, like, if you're 15 years old and you think that, you know, like, this is going to happen, that's totally what you would do, right? If that's what I would do. I'm like, "I'm not going to go to school. I'm going to be an Avenger."
I think it was like a really great scene, you know, once Peter finally walks away and Tony and Happy are standing there, and then Pepper comes in.
I know.
And Happy, for one too, like, I thought, you know, cause the whole time, like the whole movie, like, you were thinking, why are Happy and Tony just ignoring him? Right. But then, you know, the fact that Happy just goes, see what I told you? He's a good kid.
Yeah, I told you. That was neat.
That was neat. Like, yeah. So you actually kind of, you know, were relieved to realize, okay, so they were, sure, they were annoyed by him, but they were paying attention.
And Happy is not as grumpy and you know what I mean, as you think. He's
Right.
He's got a heart, too.
Yeah. Happy's got a heart.
Yeah. But that was a kind of a neat reveal that so Tony and Pepper apparently got back together.
Yeah.
Because during Civil War he said, "We're on a break."
Yeah.
And whatever. I don't know what their compromise was, because he said he didn't want to give up being Iron Man, but she didn't want him to be Iron Man or whatever. But
yeah. No, that was a pleasant surprise. I welcome that. And plus, that whole scene, too, again, is another call out to the original Civil War novel.
The reveal,
the reveal of Peter Parker in that press conference and being on Tony's side. And,
wearing the Iron Spider, as they call it, where it's yellow and it's gold and red and everything. But, and it could, like, fly and have little tentacle things that came out. I mean, it was all very cool looking, but it just wasn't Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But, that's good, though, because, so apparently, I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is not doing any more actual standalone Iron Man movies.
No, he's not.
So, it's good to know that that's how, you know what I mean? He got kind of, at least he's got the girl back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're definitely, I mean, that main trio of characters, like Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America, they're scaling back there.
Yeah, well, one more Thor.
Yeah.
Ragnarok, and then it's going to be Avengers movies, and then it's going to be a whole new all new characters, like more Doctor Strange. We're gonna have Black Panther. We're gonna have Captain Marvel. We're gonna have, I don't know who else.
There's
gonna be a couple more Ant-Man, probably.
Right. Maybe the characters from Netflix. Graduate to the big screen.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be an awesome surprise if the Defenders were also included in. Infinity War, right?
I mean, that would be huge. I don't know what the plan is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I remember reading, I can't remember the name of the guy who plays Daredevil now. I'm really bad with names, just in case.
What is his name?
Anyway, I don't remember, but he did say he would. He's like, oh, I would definitely do it. Like, no problem.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Renner said definitely he would do a Hawkeye movie if they ever wanted to do one. But
yeah.
I don't know. But he's getting old. How old is Jerry? I think he's getting old, isn't he?
Yeah.
What does it matter?
Oh, I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is old, too.
That's true, but he doesn't really do much. He just kind of, you know, he doesn't do a lot of physical
things. Oh, that's true. You're right. Yeah.
Kind of just stands in the suit, you know. Or he doesn't even, sometimes he's not even in the suit, probably.
Yeah. I do love how they have, I think they have this gag going right now where they joke around with Hawkeye, like, stretching.
Yeah, they made that joke. And he retired, I mean.
Yeah.
Got three kids.
Yeah. That's right, he's got three kids.
With what's-her-name from Freaks and Geeks. There's a lot of Freaks and Geeks. Speaking of that, Martin Starr was a teacher in this one.
Yes, that's another great character, too.
Yeah. And then apparently, Rachel noticed this. I didn't remember the guy's name, but he played Martin Weir, who was a little kid. He was one of the screenwriters in this movie. So.
Oh, okay.
A lot of Freaks and Geeks in the Marvel Cinematic Universe now.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to talk for a second about the villains in this one, because it wasn't just the Vulture.
Yeah.
We got a little, we got the Shocker.
Two versions of the Shocker.
Yeah. We had two Shockers, actually.
Two Shockers.
That was kind of funny. I'm glad that how they did
that. The character, not the... Never mind.
Okay. Okay. That was not a shocker that we got the Shocker. Yeah, the name of the character is the Shocker. But yeah. I kind of like how the first guy is like, oh, you call yourself the Shocker. You think you're so cool because you call yourself the Shocker.
Yeah.
Then so Michael Keaton kills that guy, gives the tech to the other guy, like, now you're the Shocker.
Michael Keaton.
Like, okay, I'm the Shocker.
Inadvertently kills that guy.
Yeah, I know. He's like, I thought this was the anti-gravity gun. It turned the guy into like a pile of ash.
Right.
Like,
oh. Yeah.
Oh, this was...
You know what? That guy had it coming, though.
I know. He was a jerk.
Yeah. You're like, you're messing with Batman right now? I mean, Birdman? I mean, Vulture?
So, but anyway, but the guy who played the Shocker, the second Shocker, was that he was on the second season of Fargo, and he was really awesome in that. So.
Oh, okay.
I
still have to catch up on Fargo.
Fargo is... such an awesome show. I can't even, that's it. I got nothing. It's awesome.
Something to binge on then.
Yeah, definitely. So then we got another, so there was, this is subtle.
Yeah.
But obviously fans know. So at one point, Michael Keaton's like, okay, we're still going to do that Gargan deal. And Mac Gargan is, of course, the Scorpion.
Yeah.
And he's not seen in costume or anything in this, but he's seen...
setting him up.
Got a big scorpion tattoo on his neck.
Right.
And he's played by... oh, what the hell's the guy's name? I think it's like Michael Mondo or something like that. But he plays Nacho on Better Call Saul. So these are like all of my favorite shows. Like
coming together for Spider-Man.
I know. It's great.
Yeah.
This is so cool. All these great actors from these great shows are now in these... cool movies. I'm very excited about this. So, but that's really, so yeah, we were talking about, they're probably setting up a Sinister Six kind of thing.
Right. And don't forget, the guy who was actually developing the tech for Adrian Toomes was the Tinkerer.
Yes, that's right.
He was the Tinkerer. Yeah. Granted, you know, he wasn't.
Yeah, he's not like an A-lister kind of guy, but right. You know, he's a character from Marvel, so if you're looking for that stuff,
yeah,
he's in there.
There's a lot of like deep cuts in this movie.
Oh, definitely.
But I think fans, you know, for the fans who, you know, who've stuck around with the comics and the lore and the mythology and whatnot, you know, they'll, I think, they'll be satisfied.
Yeah, definitely.
They'll be rewarded. I mean, it's definitely worth, like, this movie is meant to be seen multiple times.
Yeah, and there's, right? There's a lot of, I mean, but it's good for every, it's good for people who just kind of like Spider-Man. It's good for people like right. me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was like five or, you know.
When you see, and the thing is like, when you see six screenwriters on a movie, you know, that,
yeah,
that can go either way, man.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot. But it was okay. It seemed like it was still pretty tight.
Yeah.
Usually, like I said, like sometimes you can cram too much in, and you're right. Just like, oh, we were talking about Spider-Man 3 before the movie started.
Yeah, so that was too much.
That was too much stuff. Like, he's got, like, oh, he's going to propose to Mary Jane.
Yeah.
They've got the Sandman. They've got the fact that the Sandman was the guy who killed his uncle, maybe. Then you bring in Venom, and then you have Harry Osborn flying around. Like, it was just too much stuff.
You get emo Peter Parker.
Yeah, that's right. The Venom thing. Topher Grace? I mean, come on.
Do you think Sam Raimi was just fucking with us?
I don't know.
Maybe. At that point, you think the studio was like, oh, you got to put all these characters in there.
I mean, I read they definitely wanted Venom. Like, and they're like, well, we already wrote this thing. We got Sandman. And they're like, we're going Venom! Like, and so, like, I don't know if he was just like, fine, I'll give you Venom. I mean, I don't know if he would do that, like,
yeah,
as a professional, but whatever it was. It was bad, whatever.
It's so bad, man. That really killed it.
Yeah, that movie was just...
Yeah.
Oh, no, not good. But, they crammed a lot into this one, but it was okay. It didn't feel like, you know, like it was too much.
Yeah, and you know, it was a masterstroke not to revisit origin story, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
This was like a different kind of...
We've seen that enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with like the Batman origin.
Right.
I don't mind it, but like we've seen that a bunch of times now too. It's
right.
They revisited it again in Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
Like, we get it. You don't need to keep showing.
Although, you know what? When they did show that in Batman vs. Superman, they were showing that to set up the whole Martha thing, right?
Yeah. I know. Which,
you know, I think in the hands of a better director, that may have that could have worked, probably.
Yeah, probably could have worked. But Zack Snyder is not a better director.
Yeah, Zack is really just more of like a visual stylist, I think.
Yeah, I feel bad that his daughter
died,
and now he's off Justice League, which I don't. It's awful. It's an awful thing.
It is an awful thing.
But you know, now Joss Whedon is doing it, so maybe Justice League will be good. Like, we can hope.
We'll see what happens. Well, it's coming up.
I know.
It's just around the corner, right?
Yeah, I think so.
When's that come out? Thanksgiving?
Maybe. Holy shit.
So, I guess something to look forward to.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know what? If Wonder Woman is any indication, then like,
they're doing reshoots like right now with and they're aware of how successful Wonder Woman is, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
So, I don't know. I don't know if that'll inform how they do the reshoots.
Maybe it'll just... I just don't want it to be so dark.
Yeah.
Can we do that? Can we not make everything gray? Like, and like right. That sort of haze over everything in all those Zack Snyder movies.
Right. Yeah.
If that's at least one big step in the right direction for
right,
me.
Right. I mean, even Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight wasn't that dark.
No, I know.
It
was dark in tone, but the actual film itself wasn't dark.
Right. Yeah.
And the Joker is actually pretty bright with his bright purple jacket and everything. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, but that, you know, that's also like discussing like the merits of one director knowing what to do and the other just knowing what he wants to do.
Wow, that's a good point. There's the right and there's just whatever you want.
Right.
Zack Snyder just does whatever he wants, and some people do what's right for a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway.
Just imagine if Zack Snyder tackled Dark Knight Rises. Right?
I don't even know. I can't even imagine what would Bane be more like the comic book Bane with like
Bane would have been CGI.
Yeah, probably would have been.
Yeah.
Like some huge like
right.
grunting like right. goofy bad guy.
And as great as Dark Knight Rises too, there were some like ridiculous things.
Yeah, there were elements of
yeah.
Yeah, you know, or just plot holes and stuff.
Right. Yeah. yeah. But because Nolan just kept it moving, right? And he kept it as simple and straightforward as he could.
Yeah.
It worked.
Right. You don't have to worry about how Bruce Wayne got from that prison, wherever the hell it was, all right. the way back to Gotham.
Yeah.
Then got into Gotham because yeah. apparently no one was supposed to be able to get in.
Or how he recovered from spinal injury in the prison, yeah. right?
Yeah, he did it a couple months, and then yeah. he was back.
Well, because, you know, remember in, obviously, that's taken from another classic Batman story of when Bane breaks the bat.
Yeah.
But that right? story, he actually, Bruce Wayne actually got, like, the best medical help.
Right.
Right.
But it was months, and there, yeah. that, then Azrael became Batman, right?
Yeah.
That was
yeah, like, Azrael. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would be an interesting character to put on the screen.
Yeah.
Right?
I totally would. That, yeah, that was all very cool. And then, like, Bruce Wayne went and came back and took it back and all that. Mm-hmm. That was really neat. But yeah, in this one, he recovers pretty quickly and then somehow gets all the way back to Gotham, gets his suit, then just fights, you know, and it gets everybody to rally and fight. Right. I don't know. It was fun, though. I don't want to rag on it too much. But there were definitely some plot holes, but because it was done.
It was handled by a capable director. And,
yeah.
You know,
you don't really feel it
right
the moment as you're watching it.
Right. Well, I think it's a matter of, like, a director knowing how long a scene, how long you need to spend on a scene.
Yeah. And,
so far, what Zack Snyder has done with the DCEU movies that he's directed, like, he lingers too much on scenes.
Yeah, it's kind of just like Superman, yeah. like, kind of looking sad, you know, like
Superman, well,
it's a shot of Superman kind of like brooding.
Fight scenes too. There's just,
yeah, that's true.
Over long, you know, and while, you know, we go back to this latest Spider-Man movie, like it was moving at like the right clip, but we didn't feel like any scene, you know, any fight, like none of the fight scenes feel like they were too much. Right.
No, I think, yeah, you brought that up on Friday, and I agree. That was definitely, they didn't have, like, the Vulture and Spider-Man didn't have this, like, knockdown, drag out, let's just.
Yeah, there was no, like, overlong struggle, right?
Yeah.
Everything, like, happened on screen, at least for the most part, made sense. It felt right.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't feel like a long, like, the movie felt like it happened so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little over 2 hours, I guess, right? I don't know yeah. the exact running time, but
yeah, it was a running time. But it just felt like,
yeah,
you know,
it moved along pretty quick. I mean, that was my one problem with Wonder Woman was that it was too long. It was about 10, 15 minutes maybe, too yeah. long.
Well, because that fight scene again.
Guardians, I thought it was a little too long.
Yeah, the third act, that fight scene again was too long.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
this one, yeah, wrapped it up quick. They were in the plane crashed. Spider-Man, because he's a good dude,
saves
the Vulture.
Yeah.
And then we had that mid-credit sequence there where the Scorpion, or the man who will be the Scorpion, says, oh, rumor has it, you know who Spider-Man is. And Michael Keaton doesn't tell him.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I don't. If I knew, he would already be dead. So, like, I don't know if that's, like, well, the guy saved my life, or if that's I want him for myself or whatever. Right. But
yeah,
that's obviously something that they're going to hold on to, and
right,
that'll happen down the road.
And what's great is we may get to see more Michael Keaton, right?
Yeah, that's true. He was great. I'll watch Michael Keaton all day long. he's a great actor. He's, yeah. I don't think he gets enough credit for being.
And you know what? I think we have, we definitely have Tim Burton to thank, right?
Yeah, that was a big casting him as Batman was a big, because all he hadn't really done much. He did Clean and Sober. That was like the only serious movie he'd ever done.
Right. Yeah. But other than that, he was more considered like a comedic actor.
Yeah. He had just done Mr. Mom.
Mr. Mom, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, so. But he's really good. Yeah. I saw Spotlight pretty recently, actually. I never saw it when it came out. But.
Oh, yeah, you should. Yeah, it's. I could. The funny thing about that movie is I know as much as serious as the subject matter is. I think I could watch that movie again and again.
Yeah, it's really well done. It's
so well done.
Yeah.
And as tragic as the things that happened in it, kind of gives you like hope for, you know, for people who are, and these are like the everyday heroes, right?
Right, right.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. So trying to think of anything else. There are tons of Easter eggs in Spider-Man, of course. Yeah. I don't even know if I can remember them all.
Yeah.
Like I said, that one moment that I really liked was that, like, when he's pinned in the wreckage of, like, the building, and he's realizes, like, he kind of has this aha moment because he's taken off his mask and it's kind of floating in the puddle, and he sees his reflection, and he's like half Spider-Man, half Peter Parker, and he realizes that, like, okay, I got to do this. You know, come on, Spidey, you know, it's kind of like he can't just sit there and cry for help. Because, like, when you're 15 and you're buried under a building, you're probably pretty scared.
Right.
So that's kind of the moment for him where he's like, no, I can do this. And it's very similar to this moment in the comic books way back in, like, Spider-Man 33 or something like that, back in, like, 1960, whatever.
Yeah.
When he's got to get out of this thing because he's, there's some kind of like treatment for Aunt May or something like that. That's what he had to do.
Yeah.
It's buried in almost the same looking. They made the wreckage look almost exactly the same. And he does the same kind of thing where he just powers out, you know, just guts and, you know, whatever. And it's great. That's like a great moment for young Spider-Man to have.
Right. Well, because like he realizes that he can, like, this is one of the moments where he realizes that he just has himself to rely on, right?
So yeah.
He has to take responsibility for himself.
Yeah, and that's great. And that's kind of why he says, I don't want to be an Avenger. You know, that's like the...
Right. Like, we really do see Peter Parker, Spider-Man, growing up in this movie. You know, there's definitely a character arc.
It's great. So let me ask you. So a lot of these movies... A lot of movies in general these days, you kind of like, in a couple weeks, you're like, well, all right, you know, like you've moved on to something else. I kind of feel like this one's going to hang around for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will.
This is really the Spider-Man movie that people have been waiting for.
Oh, it's so fun.
It's fun. Yeah.
Once this starts, you know, like being on HBO or being on cable or network TV, it's like one of those movies, like you'll just like leave on the TV.
Yeah, I think
so. You're just like, oh, I remember that movie. That movie was so fun. I'll just keep that on, you know?
Yeah. Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is one that you'll watch whenever it's on. And thank Yeah, but thank God. Like, really, this is the best Spider-Man movie they've ever made, right? I mean,
yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
So, I don't even know where I would rank it in the other Marvel movies or whatever, but
it's up there.
It's up there. I haven't really thought that much about
it. It owes its success to the foundation that the other Marvel movies have built, right?
Yeah,
because even like Adrian Toomes, like, you know, the Vulture's character, they reference like the first Battle of New York, you know, in Avengers.
Yeah,
like that was the first time it was made clear that it was during that time that that character basically was starting to take steps to becoming the Vulture, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
so without the world building, universe building that all the other Marvel movies, films have done over the years, this definitely would not have been possible.
No, you're right. It's pretty cool, really, how they reference like all the other movies,
right?
Really. Like right. All the time, they're always kind of making some reference to one of the other Marvel movies,
right? But I still think it's, you know, it stands on its own pretty well.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah. One of the things I liked. So the trailer made it seem like Tony Stark was in it a lot. Like it was almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they just do that so that you're like, oh, I like RDJ. I'm going to see that movie.
Yeah. I think that was part of the marketing. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. But Tom Holland as Peter Parker nailed it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I mean, I'm glad they didn't have too much Tony Stark. He's only in it as like the father, like we said. Yeah. They never really, it's not like they have a team up at the end and they both fight the bad guy.
No.
He's only there sparingly to just kind of be like, hey, man, like sometimes give him a little tough love.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Yeah. Taking the seat.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's at the end and he's about to, you know. But that was definitely, yeah, you want him to stand on his own, and that's what he did.
Yeah.
So good job all around.
Yeah. Well, one thing we need to, I think, address before, you know, we wrap all this up. MJ.
Yeah. So I read different, I'm sure you read the same things I read.
But, yeah.
I read different things about that they just kind of, her name is Michelle.
Right.
Michelle Jones or something like that is the name of the actual character.
Right, yeah.
But apparently there were people who were really upset that there would be a Mary Jane that doesn't look like Mary Jane. You know, which I don't know why people, who cares? But like,
no.
I vote there because there was a lot of stuff when there was talk about doing the Miles Morales. We talked about this the other night too.
Yeah.
Like the black Spider-Man.
Yeah. Oh, wait, before we move on from that. So Donald Glover's character.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is, his name is Aaron Davies.
Yeah.
Right? That character is actually Aaron Davis is Miles Morales's uncle.
Yeah, and he said, I have a nephew.
Yeah.
I got a nephew in this neighborhood.
Right. And then when you, so again, this is me just reading all these articles. Brian Michael Bendis, who created the Miles Morales character, right?
Yeah.
He said that the Miles Morales character was actually inspired by Donald Glover.
Yeah.
When there was that whole internet campaign to make Donald Glover Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And now, so it all comes full circle.
I know. Like, that's great. I mean, Miles, I didn't even know that Miles Morales was inspired by
Donald Glover.
Controversy.
Right.
Which wasn't even like a, I mean, how far along was that actually? I mean, they were just talking about who's going to be Spider-Man, and someone probably said, well, how about this guy? And
then, yeah.
I don't think he was ever really in the running all that. Was he? Maybe he was.
Oh, know,
big controversy, though.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
So Brian Michael Bendis says, well, fine, screw you. I'll show you how it...
Yeah, yeah.
But that was another... Apparently, that was the reason to bring it back to the MJ thing. Was just kind of like a screw you to...
To the people who, yeah.
Would get upset over something like that.
Right.
But I mean, I'm not that, and I don't really care. Like, I'm not gonna.
No,
I like Mary Jane. I like Mary Jane as a character in the comic book a lot, and I want to see the red hair. You know, like
the classic Mary Jane.
I kind of do. Like, I do because I'm old school.
Yeah.
But I get it. Things need to change, and they could cast whoever the hell they want.
But you know, if it's a great character,
right.
On screen, and this MJ was a great character on screen.
He's pretty funny. He's sassy. Yeah. Kind of mean, you know.
But she was, like, you could tell she was, she did have a thing for Peter, right?
Yeah, I think she did.
Yeah, and she stole every scene she was in.
Yeah, she did. She had some good lines.
Yeah, she had some good lines. So, like, I think, you know, if they further developed this character, I wouldn't mind seeing more of it.
Yeah, if they decided to go there, I wouldn't have any complaints. But yeah. Like I said, there's a small part of me, not even a small part, but there's a part of me that's like, well, I like classic.
No, I
like classic Mary Jane.
Yeah, I know. I hear you.
What do I know?
Yeah. What do we know?
We don't know anything.
Yeah.
I'm going to see it anyway. What do I care?
We're just the people who pay to see these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that one, I was definitely happy I did. I can't even remember all of the Easter eggs and stuff, but even if you don't know any of that stuff, just go and see it. It's just a good movie.
Yeah, just go see it.
Before we wrap, I want to say, sorry, what did you say?
I said, I don't think you would be disappointed.
No, I don't think so. Definitely not.
It's just a fun flick. Good summer flick.
Yeah, definitely, worth your time, and I'm very glad because it could have, you know, I was nervous. It was like the last few Spider-Man movies have not been very good.
Yeah.
But this one was good. All right, so yeah, before we wrap up here, I had a little signing yesterday. I want to say thanks to anybody who came out to New England Comics in Harvard Square to, you know, check out my Robin Hood book. It was fun.
Did you guys go to a pizza fest after?
I did. I went by myself. Thankfully, by the time I got there, the rain had stopped.
Yeah. You're going this afternoon, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're going to join us?
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm going to join you guys.
All right, cool. Yeah, I thought it was worth it. Although, by the time I got there, a lot of the places had sold out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they were
But you got there, like, later...
Yeah, it was like 8:30 or something like that.
All right, well, we should go now.
Yeah, we should go pretty soon. I think this year, today, they'll probably be a little better prepared for, you know.
For the crowds?
Yeah. I'm not too worried about it. There were still plenty of them open.
Okay.
A few of them had shut down already. So I just grabbed as many slices as I could.
Do we need to bring cash?
Yeah, you should probably bring some cash.
Okay.
It's like $2.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Join us at Pizza Fest. Oh, wait.
Come down to Pizza Fest.
By the time people see this, it'll be over.
I know, it'll be over, but I hope you were there. But anyway, yeah, so thanks for coming by. If you want to see anything about Robin Hood, check out robinhoodcomicbook.com.
Are you going to do an appearance at in Cool's Corner?
I don't know. I'm going to try. Like, there was talk. I asked them about it. They said, well, you've already done a couple here on Free Comic Book Day, so maybe I'll put it off a little bit.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm going to try to do it anywhere I can.
Maybe do it for the fall.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe push it off to the fall a little bit.
And all the kids are back.
Yeah, that's a good idea. A lot of people are on vacation this week, so there weren't a lot of customers over there at all. But I talked to some cool people, and, so... Definitely like to do it in Coolidge. I'll have to talk to my guy there, my friend.
Well, I'm sorry I missed it. It was
Oh, no, it's okay.
I was at someone's birthday party, so.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
It was actually my birthday twin.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So they're having their party a little later. Yeah, I don't know. What else? Let me ask you a quick question. You're a DC sort of guy.
I like DC.
You like DC? You like Batman?
Yeah.
So, you know, he proposed to Catwoman, right? Did you hear about this?
Oh, I haven't. So, you know what? I haven't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All I'm doing is catching up on what's going on, right? So.
All right. Well, sorry I blew that for you.
No, that's fine. That's okay. You know, I'm at the point where, all right, I'll know what the gist of what happens, but I'll still read it if I want to, right?
Yeah.
Like, I got, like, the DC Universe Rebirth Omnibus, right?
Oh, okay.
I think, but this just has, like, all the number one issues.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah, I mean,
this still have to get through that, yeah.
It made, like, the news, though. It made, like, USA Today and stuff. Yeah.
I don't know.
Say yes or no yet.
I definitely saw the panel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they kind of spoiled it before the issue even came out, I think. They revealed it.
Yeah.
But obviously they want to sell as many books as possible. So
yeah.
Are you do you care? Does that go against your sensibilities as a longtime Batman fan?
No. It doesn't bother me. I mean, if it makes for a good story,
yeah,
you know, let them run with it, right?
We'll see, right?
And you know, people are obviously talking about it, so
I know I'm talking about it.
Yeah, I can't. I'm looking forward to reading it.
It was actually a pretty good issue, and there was like it wasn't like it came out of the blue. There was like a decent build to it.
Yeah.
I think so. We'll see what happens. We'll see where it goes. Right now, though, they kind of skip back in time to do this kind of almost like a year one kind of a thing. I guess it's kind of technically year two, but it's just kind of like the Riddler and the Joker are kind of fighting over who's going to kill Batman, I guess. Or who's going to kill everybody.
Okay.
But so that they're not going to show you what Catwoman's answer is until they wrap up this other one.
Okay.
But we'll see.
We'll see.
Anyways, I think we've chatted on this long enough, right?
I think we've covered a lot regarding Homecoming.
Yeah. Well, that was the main goal.
Yeah.
If you got anything else, you want to chat about? There's plenty of cool stuff.
There is plenty of cool stuff. I was just trying. Well, there's a lot of movies for us to look forward to right now.
Yeah, definitely.
So we've got Thor coming up. We've got Justice League coming up.
Yeah.
What else? Black Panther.
Yeah, Black Panther, Captain Marvel.
Star Wars. Yeah. What a time to be alive, right?
I know, seriously. We've got more shows. I don't know, any of these, I mean, there's like an Inhuman show coming, I guess. There's Cloak and Dagger. There's more Netflix. There's Netflix Defenders is coming.
Yeah.
Like, this, it's really, yeah. Seriously, what a time to be a fan. Because this.
I know.
Now we're complaining about too much stuff. But, yeah. And I don't know. Do you watch Preacher at all?
No, but that's definitely on my list, you know?
The second season just started, and it is crazy.
Yeah.
Like it's even more, like, funny and violent, I think. They really ramped it up for the second season. But it's a lot of fun. And even if you didn't read the – I never read the whole thing. I read parts of it. But if you didn't read it, it's still worth it. So, yeah. Yeah.
I'll put it on the list.
No, I got it. Sorry?
I'll put it on the list.
Put it on the list. Yep. Yes. I think that's all I got. I kind of want to have some pizza.
Yeah, let's go get some pizza.
Thanks for listening, everybody, I guess. Then we'll wrap up the podcast before I just run and get pizza. Thanks for listening. Check out leakpodcast.com. Blah, blah, blah. You know, all that. All right. We'll text you in a few minutes.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Anytime, man. Anytime you want to come on.
Yeah.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks for listening.
And we'll talk to you soon, right?
Yep.
Later.
Later.
You know. stupid.